Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining our Shulchan Aruch Eben HaEzer Shir. Be'ezus Hashem, this morning we'll be speaking about a shaila that you think probably doesn't come up too often nowadays. But I think somebody mentioned that there was somebody on this call last week that it was in their family. The halach of marrying your niece. Why should we discuss the halachas of marrying your niece? And the answer is, we'll see in a moment. I'll share the screen with you and you'll see why we have to discuss the halachas of marrying your niece. Because there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, as you can see on the screen. Hold on as I just adjust my screens. One second, please. The pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Ches, talks about Klal Yisrael coming back to Hashem. Klal Yisrael doing genuine tshuva. And Hashem says, I don't want this half-hearted, disingenuous, fake tshuva where you fast but you don't change who you are. I want you to change who you are and become better people. Says Yeshaya Perek Nun Ches, Halo Zet Tzom Evchari. This is the kind of tzom that I'm interested, says Hashem. Pateach Chartzubos Resha, you should untie the ties of evil. Okay, that's a very general term. Halo Paros L'Rayiv Lachmecha, you should spread out your bread to the poor. V'anim Rudim Tavibayis, take in the people, the downtrodden people, take them into your house. Kisire Aron V'chisi, so when you see somebody and who's unclothed, you should clothe that person. Umi Besarcha Altis Aleim. That's a famous three words, Umi Besarcha Altis Aleim, which makes its way into halacha in numerous areas. Number one, we know that when you give tzedakah, the first level of tzedakah you're supposed to give is to your own family. You'd be flabbergasted. How many times I was asked, am I allowed to give meiser to a family member who's struggling? And I clarify with them, you're missing the point. The main tzedakah that you're supposed to give, or the primary tzedakah that you're supposed to give, the first level of tzedakah, is specifically to family members who are struggling. It's not because they're your family, they don't count as tzedakah. It's the exact opposite. Because they're your family, you have the first level, the highest order of responsibility to take care of them. That's from this pasuk, Mi besarcha az tisaleim, lo tisaleim. And Yeshaya Hanavi concludes, after a few more things that you should do proper tshuva, then Yeshaya says, if you do these things of genuine care for the community and family, then Oz Tikra V'Hashem Ya'aneh, you'll call out to Hashem and He'll answer your tefillos. Now one of those, and that's what we're going to be focusing on, is of course another application of Mi Besarcha Al Tis'aleim, Tis'alam. Until now, we mentioned it in the context of giving tzedakah, but you'll see the Gemara in Sanhedrin is going to expand it to some additional applications. So let's jump to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Zak the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Tana Banan tells us a brisa based on the psukim that we just learned in Yeshaya. Somebody who loves his neighbors, right? Mr. Adler's here. My good friend, my good neighbor, Tommy Adler. I love my neighbors. Ha'oy v'shchenov. V'ha'mekayev v'shkrovov. And you bring one who brings clothes. Dr. Hollander also. You're also my neighbor. I love you too. And you mekayev v'shkrovov. You bring clothes to your relatives. V'ha'nose. This is the punchline. This is the focus of today's shir. The next three words. V'ha'nose esbas achoso. Somebody who marries. Let's translate the words. I'm not going to say the word niece. You'll see why. V'ha'nose esbas achoso. Someone who marries his sister's daughter. In English, we call that a niece, but I want to not use the word niece for now. You'll see why. If you marry your sister's daughter, so that's also in the list of being a good person. You love your neighbors. You bring close your family, close with the family. You marry your sister's daughter. V'hamal v'sela la'ani b'shastachu. You lend a poor guy some money when he's pressured for money. You lend him money. You extend yourself for him. Such a person, Allah ha'kosav omer, oz tikra, V'Hashem Ya'aneh. You'll call out to Hashem, and Hashem will answer you. Of course, that's if you look back to the Pesukim in Yeshaya, that was the conclusion, that was the concluding Pasuk, Oz Tikra V'Hashem Ya'aneh. There you go. Oz Tikra V'Hashem Ya'aneh. That was the concluding Pasuk of those previous list of different good things that Hashem is exhorting Klal Yisrael, to be careful with, as Hashem, the Rashi explains, why if somebody does these things, he loves his neighbors and he brings close his family and he marries his sister's daughter and he lends a person when he's in a tough spot, because Why will Hashem answer your tefillos? Because Rashi explains, because Le'el Min Iksiv, right before that pasuk, that you'll call out to Hashem and He'll answer you, it says, Umi Bisarcha Al Tisalam. Don't, you know, ignore your own family. Hainu, that's the one that's the pasuk that teaches us, Nosi Basa Choso Mekayves Krova. That's the pasuk that you shouldn't ignore your family. That teaches us that you should marry your sister's daughter. And you should be close to your family. Etc. And Rashi goes to the other qualities that the Braisa refers to as well, also so going back to that, all to that pasuk in Yeshaya. So in this issue of marrying this, again, the Gemara is saying it's a great thing. It shows that you're caring for your family. It shows that mibesarcha al tis'alam, you're not ignoring the needs or the welfare of your family if you marry your sister's daughter. Now, what is it with your sister's daughter? Does it apply to your brother's daughter? I mean, does it apply to all nieces or only your niece from your sister, right? You have a big sister, little sister, her daughter, or also your brother's daughters? If you marry your brother's daughters, is that also better? And of course, what's the mila of marrying your niece? And if it depends on your sister's daughter or your brother's daughter, that might tell us a different reason why you should marry that young woman in the first place, that niece in the first place. If it's only one type of niece and not another type of niece. These are the questions that we have outlined before us this morning. 1 second. Ariel, could you get me a cup of water? Hot water. So comes the Rambam in Hilchas Isurei Biya Perek Beis and says a very important line. The first few words are basically the Braisa, but the Rambam extends it a little bit longer than the Braisa. Mitzvas Chachamim. So first of all, he's calling this a mitzvah. When you looked at the Braisa, it just says, you know, if you do, it's a beautiful thing, and if you do this, then Hashem will answer your tefillos. The Rambam amends it to title it a mitzvah. Mitzvah, okay, not a mitzvah, Doraisa, of course, but it's a mitzvah chachamim, sheyisa adam bas achoso, like the Gemara specified. And now look at the next five words of the Rambam. Vehu hadin, and so too, says the Rambam, lebas achiv. Labas achiv, so too the daughter of your brother. In other words, all your nieces, whether it's your brother's daughters, your sister's daughters, everybody who you and I call a niece, it's a mitzvah chachamim to marry her. Shneimran bibesarcha al tisalam, quoting the same pasuk as we saw in that Gemara. So, two points of note in this Rambam. He changes the Gemara to change it into a mitzvah, meaning he's learning up the Gemara teaching the Gemara to be a mitzvah. And secondly, he expands the Gemara, which specified your sister's daughter. He says, it doesn't just mean your sister's daughter, it means your sibling's daughter. Not just your sister, but even your brother's daughter, any niece that you have. Those are the two additions that we see from this Rambam's He'ara. Comes and goes Maimonis on the Rambam. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyeh bidvarav. Comes out goes Maimonides, and he says the following. Why did the Rambam change the Gemara? The Gemara says if it's your sister's daughter, you should marry her, not your brother's daughter, not all your nieces. Zakta Hagos Maimonides, why did the Gemara specify only your sister's daughter? Not like the Rambam who expanded it. The Gemara limited it to just your sister's daughter. Why? Va'achoso denaka tamuda. The reason why the Gemara specified your sister's daughter, not because it's limited, not because the Gemara was specifying your sister's daughter, it's just, it was more common. Why? Because typically, the one who you have a better relationship with is your sister. I don't want to take a poll here, but I'm sure that most of the gentlemen on this shir get along better with their sister than with their brother. With your brothers, you fight. Your sister, she takes care of you, right? She looks out for you. Your brother, you want to kill him. He wants to kill you. Your sister, mishadal to bedvarim. So therefore, it's more reasonable. You know, if you can't stand your brother because he always beat you up, and he always stole your baseball cards. So it's less common to marry his daughter, because you know there's a tension between the boys among the brothers. But your sister, you know, you're a guy, she's a girl, she's your sister, so she's gentler, she's sweeter than your brothers who want to beat you up. So it's more reasonable that you're gonna get along better with her. She's mishadal to be, she speaks nicer, sweeter to you. So it's more common. But what the Hagos Maimonides is saying, that it's only because it's more common, but not because it's the halacha. That's the Hagos Maimonides is telling you that the Rambam is of course right, that it applies both to your niece from your brother and your sister. The reason why the Gemara specified sister is only because it's just more common. But don't think that the Gemara is limiting this mitzvah only to your sister's daughter. It applies equally to your brother's daughter as well. However, he says, even though that's how the Rambam understands, Rabbeinu Tam says no. Rabbeinu Tam says you have to learn the Gemara Dafka, specifically specifying your sister's daughter only. Why? Let's see. Rabbeinu Tam hoya omer, Dafka basa choso. Now the next few words I have a problem I'm going to need your help with. Rabbeinu Tam says, only your daughter. Oh, I'm sorry, only your sister's daughter. Your niece from your sister. That's who there's a mitzvah to marry. Why? Lefishihi bas mazalot fei. Because your niece is more your type, if it's your sister's daughter, than your brother's daughter. Why? What's unique about your sister's daughter that's going to be a good shidduch? Why is it a better shidduch if you marry a sister's daughter than your brother's daughter? Kida amrinan, rov. Yeah, the next line is not written so well. You're right. That's the answer to this. To my question mark. Kida amrinan, rov bonim domin la'achi ha'av. It must be a mistake. Chazal say elsewhere that rov bonim domin la'achi ha'em. When you want to, the Gemara tells us that, is it this week's parasha? I think this week's parasha. What it says, yeah, what was the pasuk? Help me with the pasuk. Bas Nachshon, v'achos, help me, Mr. Bergman. What was the pasuk? V'yamin Adav, right. V'kach achos, Nachshon Leisha, something like that. From where we learn that you should always Yivdok be'acheha. The Torah specifies who the brothers who the brothers were. Va'achos Nachshon Aminadav, something like that. You're supposed to look into the brothers. Why? Because the brothers of the mother, the brothers of the girl you marry, will determine who your children will be. So that means the children will be similar to the mother's brother. Right, so the banim will be doma to the achi ha'em. Right, they'll be a doma to the achi ha'em. Right, a woman will raise her children like her, like she saw her brothers raised. Okay, that's fair. But if that's the case, Rabbeinu Tam says, and here we have to think for a minute, here we have to think a little bit. If you marry your, what you're saying is something very, is something based on nurture, not nature, but nurture. You're saying based on nurture, a woman will probably raise her children to be like the brothers who she's familiar with. But maybe there's something more, maybe there's something in nature as well. Maybe a children will be similar to their mother's brother. Well, if that's the case, if you marry your niece, let's think for a second. You marry your niece. If we assume that a person will be similar to their mother's brother, well, guess what? If you marry your niece, if it's your sister's daughter, so you will be similar to the girl you're marrying. Why? Because the girl you're marrying is, you are the brother of her mother. You hear that? Rabbeinu Tam just said something incredible. Rabbeinu Tam says that just like we see that you should check the girls when you're going out, you should check the girls' brothers because you want your kids to be like her uncle, like the siblings of the mother. You want your children. You're going to marry a woman. You'll marry Sprinza. And Sprinza, why are you checking Sprinza's brother? You're going to check Sprinza's brothers because you want your kids to be like her brothers. In other words, the child will be similar to the mother's brother. Well, guess what? If you marry your niece, that niece who you're marrying is the child. You're the brother of your sister. So your niece will be very similar to you. It will be a great shidduch. It will be likes attracting. You're going to have the same political views. You're going to have the same disposition. You'll have the same outlook. You're going to get along really great. Why? Because if you marry your niece, your sister's daughter, what's the relationship between you and your sister's daughter? Let's look at her. It's her husband, if you marry your niece, is her father, her mother's brother. That means that she is the product, and she will be like who? She'll be like her mother's brothers. Who's her mother's brothers? You, her husband. So we just created a really good shidduch. Yeah, I'm not telling you you should right now call up your sister and say, first of all, you're married. Second, so you definitely shouldn't be inquiring about your niece. Second of all, I'm not telling any of you, obviously there are genetic issues, there are social issues now, but we want to understand at least what is the halacha. And yes, this halacha does make its way to Shulchan Aruch Rabosai. It's not left in as a braisa, it's not even left as a Rambam. It makes its way into Shulchan Aruch. And we just found an incredible Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam is putting together two chazals. Again, the chazal that says that you should always check the sisters of the girl you're going out with, because your children from this wife will be like her, you know, her brothers. Well, guess what? If you marry your sister's daughter, then you are the brother of that mother. So you will be just like your niece. You'll get along great. And therefore, it's like a segula. It's not a segula. It's like a guarantee for a good shidduch. You can get along well because you're going to be similar to one another. And that's Rabbeinu Tam's beautiful pshat. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says when the Gemara specifies that you should marry your sister's daughter, it specifically refers to sister's daughter, not brother's daughter, because you only have this inyan of similarity between you, the husband, and your sister's daughter, as opposed to a brother's daughter. A third pshat is offered why the mitzvah is specifically, well, a second pshat is offered why the mitzvah is specifically to the daughter of your sister, not the daughter of your brother. Again, the Rambam says it applies to both. He learns the Gemara's Lav Dafka. Rabbeinu Tam says it's specifically your daughter's, your sister's daughter, because that's when you'll be more similar, so it'll be a good shidduch. Rashi says yet another pshat. Rashi parish, Ga'aguli adam rabim al achoso yoser me achiv. This might be what you're familiar with. Why is it good to marry your niece? Because you'll care for her. You know, you have a husband and wife, and they could get angry with each other. They could get frustrated with each other. They could even get bitterly angry at one another. But if there's another link between the husband and wife, and that is that it's his niece, even if he's angry at her as a wife, he will still care for her as his niece. Well, which kind of nieces do you care for more? Which kind of nieces are you more loving to? Not in an intimate way, but loving in a familial way of care and concern and loving. Well, your sister, you're close. Like we said before, you're probably closer with your sister than your brother. So your sister's daughter, you're going to be much more caring for, much more concerned with her welfare than the daughter of your brother. Because you're closer with your sister, you have more emotional connection with your sister. So her daughter, you're going to be more caring for. So Rashi therefore also learns the Gemara Kipshuto. Remember, the Gemara is specified, not like the Rambam who expanded it to refer to both your brother's daughter and your sister's daughter. Rashi specifies, you know, like the Bryce's exact Lashon. Hanosias bas achosa, Hanosias bas achosa, your sister's daughter. That's what it's limited to, and Rashi says yes. Why? Because socially, you're going to be more caring for this young woman because she's the daughter of your sister. So you're going to take better care of her. Even if you don't like, even if she burnt your chalent, you're not going to throw away because, hey, she's also your niece. So we have three. So far, we have three explanations. The Rambam who says that the Gemara was Lav Davka and this mitzvah applies to your both nieces. Rabbeinu Tam Rashi who limited only to your sister's child, your sister's daughter, but for different reasons. Rabbeinu Tam says because you will be more similar to your niece, and therefore you're going to have a good shidduch between the two of you because you're more similar one to another. And Rashi says, no, we just want you to have more pity on this woman who you marry. You'll have more care for her because she's not only your wife, she's also your niece from your sister who you're very close with. We have yet a fourth mahalach in this sugya, and that is Tosfos. Tosfos in Yevamos tells us the following, with a little bit of a twist, very different than everything we've been speaking about until now. Let me tell this to you outside, then we'll look at it inside. When you marry your niece, there is one other halacha that is affected, and that is the halacha of Yibum. You see, if you marry Stam a girl, and then, God forbid, let me not talk about you. Fred. Anyone here named Fred? I don't think so. Okay. Fred marries a girl, and Fred dies without children. So what happens to the almana? She'll marry Fred's brother. However, that's Yibum. That's a great thing. Yibum, his name will be able to be, continued for the rest of history. Carried on. However, what happens if you marry your niece? Well, let's think. If you marry your niece, that means, let's say the husband dies. So she's falling liyibum to another uncle. But remember, her uncle is also her father, right? You got it. Thank you. Who said that? Was that Mr. Who said that? That's right. You step ahead of me. Thank you, Mr. Davies. Thank you. Her uncle is also her father. So she's going to fall to Yibum to her father, which of course doesn't work. And therefore, she's not going to end up being able to get Yibum. So you might think that you shouldn't marry your niece because you're setting up a marriage which does not have the possibility of Yibum. By you marrying your niece, again, there are numerous cases where you could set up a possibility of not having you, but at least in this case, if you marry your niece, let's just say it like that, if you marry your niece and you die and the husband dies, then she's going to fall Yibum to her, potentially her father, let's say. And that, you might think, we don't want to set up a situation lachatchila where there won't be the possibility of Yibum. Comes Tosis, comes and says, you know what, it's mutter. Amrin Rabbi Yerushalmi, look on the screen. Zos Amaris Mutter L'Adam Lisa Eshes Ben Achiv. You see, the Yerushalmi is not talking about the child. Mutter L'Adam Lisa Eshes Ben Achiv. Okay, well, I'm going to skip that line because the next line is what we need. Mikan Yocholios Raila Pirish Rivan Shapirish Vanose Basachoso Davka Basachoso. The Kumara that says you should marry niece, not your niece, your sister's daughter specifically. Why? Valbas Achiv Eino Sekolkach Mitzvah. Maybe it's not such a big mitzvah to marry your niece from your brother's family. Why not? Because if you marry your brother's daughter, then what's going to happen? The Mevato Mitzvah Yadmin. We know that if you marry your brother's daughter, right? If you marry your brother's daughter, so when you end up, if you die without children, so she's going to fall to Yibum to her father, who's your brother. Okay, so her father, right? One of the brothers will be her father. That's correct, and therefore there will not be a mitzvah of Yibum. Therefore, It's not such a mitzvah to marry your brother's daughter. However, if you would marry your sister's daughter, there's no Yibum there. Because if you marry your sister's daughter, so if you die without children, then I guess if a woman falls to Yibum to her father and to his brothers, since one of the Yevamim, no, we're talking about two possibilities. hold on. Again, let's talk about the two possibilities. If you marry, well, the question is, our Gemara said you should marry your sister's daughter. And the Rivan is wondering, why does it specify you should marry your sister's daughter, not your brother's daughter? So the Rivan is saying, because if you marry your brother's daughter, then what's going to happen? If you marry your brother's daughter, it's so wonderful, it's your niece, you can take care of her, says Rivan. But no, there's a negative, there's a downside. Because if you die, then this almana will fall to whoever the other brothers are and to her father, and she will not get Yibam. Masha Einkein, if you marry, so therefore there's a downside if you marry your brother's daughter. Masha, because she will not have the possibility of Yibam. Masha Einkein, if you marry your sister's daughter, so even if you die without any children, the almana will fall the Yibam not to her, she doesn't follow Yibam to, the Yibam follows the brothers for the father's family and not the mother's family. And therefore she's not really going to be related to her, she'll be able to marry one of her uncles. It won't be falling in Yibam to her father. So therefore what comes out is the Rivan is telling us that the Gemara specified that you should specifically marry your sister's daughter. You should marry your sister's daughter, not your brother's daughter, because if you marry your brother's daughter, it's not so good. But if you marry your sister's daughter, then you don't have the problem of Yibam. No. He's saying, let's say it's good to marry all your nieces. But it's less of a mitzvah. The reason why the Gemara specified your sister's daughter, not your brother's daughter, is because with your brother's daughter, there's a loss, a net loss of the opportunity to do Yibam. So that's why the Gemara specified. He's just explaining, why does the Gemara specify you should marry your sister's daughter, not your brother's daughter? And the answer is because you marry your brother's daughter, even though it's great, you'll take better care of her, but if there would be Yibam, you're losing on the Yibam possibility. So therefore, excuse me. That's a loss. So let's just put everything together. And now that I'm learning it together with you, I realize that I didn't do number three correctly. I'm going to erase number three because I didn't write it properly. So what do we have here? We have the Rambam Shita that you should marry both your brother and your sister's daughter. Number two, he says Rashi and Rabbi Tam assume that you should dafka marry your daughter of your sister. And Tosus also says that. And why do we, what's the maila of your daughter of your sister, not your daughter of your brother? So we have different explanations. Rabbeinu Tam says because you and your niece are going to be more similar to one another. You'll have a better shidduch together if it's your sister's daughter. Rashi said because you care more for your daughter's sister. You can take better care of her as a caring, giving not only husband but uncle as well. And the Rivan says the reason why we specify the daughter of your sister is because then there will still be the possibility of Yibam. Those are different shitas in the Rishonim of the parameters of is only does your niece only from your daughter or from your is your niece only from your sister or even from your brother. That's as far as the background. Let's jump now to the Shulchan Aruch. If you marry your sister's daughter, if you marry your sister's daughter and you die, so she will fall to Yibam to one of my brothers. Let's see here. Okay, let's read what Tosas says. Let's see what Tosas gets. Mikan Yachulios. I'm going back to this Tosas. Mikan Yachulios Raya Leper Shivan Shapir Shleil. Vanosi Basachos Udavka Basachos. Basachav Enos Kolkach Mitz Whitem Vatel Mitzas Yavmin. So Tosas is saying explicitly that if you marry the daughter of your brother,
the whole mitzvah yibum goes away.
That's correct.
So you mevatel the entire mitzvah yibum by marrying your brother's daughter because she can't marry her father.
Right.
However,
you can't marry the father's siblings either.
Right.
Because one of the people who could do yibum is one of the Isurei Biyah, so therefore even the siblings who are not Isurei Biyah also don't get yibum.
Correct. However, let's say you marry your sister's daughter, so, and you die.
She can't marry her mother anyway.
She can't marry her mother anyway. That means she's... Right.
There's no Zika. There's no Zika sister here.
There's no Zika to the mother, so therefore none of the Zikukim are Asurim to Yibam. Right. You hear that, Beirish?
I got to think about it.
Okay. Beseder. Shkeach.
Carry
on. Okay. Let's go all the way. We're now ready for the Shulchan Aruch. A very quick line in the Shulchan Aruch. It says, Ramah, this halacha, Rabosai, there's a mitzvah to marry your niece. Mitzvah la'adam shi'isa basa choso, quoting the Gemara's in Nebo Sanhedrin Yevamis. So this is Paskin halacha l'maisa. V'yesh omrim af basachiv. And then he quotes the Rambam. That maybe it applies to your brother's daughter as well. It sounds like, how do we deal with, the Rambam's quoting both shitas, I'm sorry, the Ramah is quoting both shitas in the Rishonim. Sounds like Mikra Hadin, it's Basa Chosa, but there's Yesh Lahachmir like the Ramah as well. So Rabosai, Halach L'maisa, we haven't seen any, you know, leniency. I don't want to say leniency. It's just a L'chatchila Dika Mitzvah. It certainly applies. I think last week, again, somebody said, somebody in this call said that they had a relative who had this in their family. Okay. Now, this sugya...
Does anything change now that we know more about, you know, genetics and the...
Yeah, 100%. Now that you know about genetics, I mean, the same, you know, the same screaming that Yeshayahu was saying, you should be caring about other people, care about your family, and take good care of them. Well, that same Yeshayahu would say, the best care that you could take about for your family is make sure there are no genetic mutations in your family, right? That's not v'hatorecha kamocha, to try to generate, you know, genetic mutations within your family. That's not doing anyone a favor. I think we'll all agree to that. So if you want to be really frum and do some genetic screening and make sure that you have to discuss with your sister, see if she's okay with it. Do genetic screening with you and your niece and find out that there's no possible mutations that could occur if you would marry your niece. Then you took care of all the genetic issues and then you just have the, you know, the social thing. If you socially would be comfortable in the community to marry your niece, so then, and again, you want to do them a favor. The point is not to mess your family up. Your goal is to help them out and to be more, you know, to generate better family relationships and better caring for people, not by messing them up and ruining people's social standings in the community. If you could do that, you could do it in a healthy way. So, okay, this is what Yeshayahu HaNavi is telling us. Okay. This issue, could you hear me okay? Is my audio okay now? Okay.
Yeah.
This issue, just my voice is a little weaker today, of marrying your niece raises a whole new area of discussion that we're going to switch to right now. And that is the way we should deal with the Tzavas of Yehuda HaChassid. Because we're going to learn together part of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and we just learned an explicit Gemara that says it's a mitzvah, which Rambam passes a mitzvah chachamim to marry your niece. We're going to learn Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who's going to seem to say something very, very different. And if that's the case, we're going to have to figure out how to deal with Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid in general. Because we know, and after I announced this, I don't know if some of you were at the 7 o'clock meeting this morning, but after I announced this morning that I would be speaking about Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, a fellow came over to me, I can't say his name, and says, oh, that's so interesting that you're speaking about this. I just got my daughter read to a boy, like Erev Shabbos, and he has the same name as I am. I was thinking of not letting my daughter go out with him because I'm not comfortable for the boy to have the same name as me. And I told him, well, why don't you come on and listen to the Shia today? Let's discuss it a little later. Because I figured I had 2 more hours to work on the Sugya to be able to Paskin a little bit better for his Shaila. And I do feel more equipped to Paskin his Shaila after having spent the past 2 hours working on this Sugya. So now let's dive into the sugya of Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Achaso, which has a lot of things that people have heard in different contexts, and we have to find out. Some of them are very commonly known, some of them are less known. And what I did was, Rabbi Yehuda Achaso has a list of approximately 50 points, that's 50 points, that seem to have no basis in Chazal, presumably have no basis in Chazal, and yet he says about 50 points that you should be careful with, ranging the gamut of marriage to construction of your home, some of you know what I'm referring to all kinds of different things. So first of all, who was Rabbi Yehuda Chassid? He was one of the Hasidei Ashkenaz, born in 1140, and died in 1217 in Speyer, right? We know the city of Speyer from the Kinas, Speyer, Magenza, and Worms. And it's important to realize who he was by seeing who his Talmidim were. His Talmidim were the Orzarua, the Rokeach, the Smag, the Sefer Truma, a number of our Gedolei HaRishonim, the early Ashkenazi Rishonim, were his Talmidim. So you realize that we're dealing with Yehuda Achaso was really, there are not so many people who we call HaChassid. Keep that in mind. So if our Mesorah has, you know, nicknamed him HaChassid, you realize we're dealing with a very, very extraordinary Rishon. Not just, again, all the Rishonim were exceptional. He was exceptionally extraordinary. So I chose a number of his points from his Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and we're going to discuss one or two or three of them at length, the ones that are Nogel Mice. What affects us right now is the following. Look at what's on the screen. Sif Chafbez, in his Tzava'a. Lo Yisa Adam Bas Achiv O Bas Achoso. Do you know what he just did? He just crossed out a line in the Talmud Bavli. The Gemara says that it's a mitzvah, a pasuk from Yeshayim, based on a pasuk in Yeshayim. I mean, again, the Gemara pasuk in Yeshayim just says, Mibisarcha Al Tisalam, don't ignore your flesh. And the Gemara explained that to mean, you should marry your niece, your daughter of your achoso. And what is the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Achaso says? He says, don't marry your niece. No offense to Rabbi Yehuda Achaso, but that sounds like Reform Judaism. The Gemara says, yes, it's a mitzvah. And he says, no, don't do it. That's what we call Reform Judaism, no? It's not me who's going to ask. This is going to be the Noda Behuda's question. Okay, that you might not have heard of. What you did hear is the next halacha. The next, I don't want to say the word halacha, the next point of Yehuda Achaso, which we'll talk about Ba'arichas, either later today or certainly next week. Lo yisa adam sheshma kashem ima. A person shouldn't marry a woman, meaning a guy, a boy going out, shouldn't marry, go out with a girl whose name is similar to the boy's mother's name. Right? If his mother's name is Miriam, he shouldn't go out with a girl named Miriam. Or the opposite. Oshmo Kishem Chamiv. A boy named Yaakov, let's say, shouldn't go out with a girl whose father's name is Yaakov. That was the shaila I got this morning. The shaila I got this morning was a guy in our shul, his name isn't Yaakov, let's say his name is Yaakov, and his daughter was read a boy named Yaakov. And that got him nervous because of this line that I have highlighted on your screens right now. And look at the fabulous ending to this point of Rabbi Yehuda Achaso. He says, and if they already got married, Vimnasa Yishana Shem HaEchad, you should change one of their names, Ulai Yesh Tikva, maybe there's hope. That, of course, is a play on words from Eicha, where Yirmiyahu laments Ulai Yesh Tikva, which is a very strong language of even then, even with he changed his name, Ulai Yesh Tikva, maybe there's hope, I don't even know. Okay, another well-known one is when the two Machatanim have the same name, Shnei Bnei Adam Sheshma Seim Shavim Lo Yizdavgu Yachav Yaldeim. Let's say your name is Yankel and you have a wonderful son, and yeah, there's a Machatan, his name is Yankel, he has a wonderful daughter, so you shouldn't, you know, connect your son to his daughter if your name is Yankel and your mechutin's name is Yankel. Another one that's also relatively well known is Lo Yisu Shnei Achim L'Shtei Achos. Two brothers should not marry two sisters. I'm sure you know somebody who, I know two, I think, two such families where two brothers married two sisters. Yehuda Achaso says, don't do it. Now, the next one is one I'm quite positive you've never heard of. And I think some of you will be taken aback when you see it. But in the same list, I told you there's a long list of over 50 I can't say halachas, 50 points that he writes that you should be careful to do or not do, whatever it is. Number Nun Aleph, listen to this. I'm just looking at the names of people on our list. Anyone? Yeah, some people might be offended. Some people on this shir might be hurt. Some people on this shir might be terrified, but let us see it inside. Lo yikra ish mizaro espino Yehuda. You should not call your son Yehuda. Velo Shmuel. And you should not call your son Shmuel. Okay? I already know that I offended somebody, at least one, if not numerous people on this shir. You should not be calling your son Yehuda, nor should you call your son Shmuel. Velo yadu Rav b'hidl Hildesberg. If you're a rabbi, you should not move to Hildesberg. Ki lo yarech yom, because if you're a rabbi and you move to Hildesberg...
Heidelberg,
that's what we talked about. Didn't we talk about Heidelberg in my speech weeks ago? That castle in Heidelberg? Yeah, with a DP camp where Dr. Orner was born. Yes, that was from the Shir a few weeks ago. Heidelberg, that's correct. But a rabbi should not be in Heidelberg. Wow, this is a little frightening when you consider the fact that the DP camp wasn't put in Heidelberg. Okay? Lo yudur Kohen be Regensburg. If you're a Kohen, you should not move to Regensburg, another city in Germany. So this sounds, again, we have to deal with Tzavasur Yehuda Chazu with the utmost respect, but at the same time, it seems so distant from us. And again, I'm quite confident that none of you knew this this point of Rabbi Yehuda Chazu, even though I'm confident that every single one of you knew the other one about going out with somebody who has the same name as your future father-in-law, future mother-in-law. So no offense to the Yehudas and Shmuels on our call. We have to see how to deal with this. Now, why did I bring to you this?
Wasn't Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid Rabbi Yehuda ben Reb Shmuel?
Okay, great. Keep that in mind. Okay, I don't know what his father's name was. Let me look. What was his father's name? I have it here in the biography. Yes, you're correct. Thank you. Right in the, the Bar Ilan biography, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel. So he says, I don't want you to call any children after me. That's what he's basically saying.
Or my father.
Or my father, right. Which is interesting because I understand he could be like Mochel on his covet. Maybe he's doing it so that, you know, otherwise, if you had a grandfather named, you know, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, of course you could name after Yehuda, right? So now he wants to leave it to other people in the family. But why Shmuel? What right does he have to take away the covet from his father? Okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid also wrote, besides leaving his tzava, which is not his primary, magnum opus, his magnum opus was the Sefer HaChassidim. In Sefer HaChassidim, he points out a number of things that are very similar to the points that we just mentioned, a number of points from his tzava. But Sefer HaChassidim is not written just as a tzava, we're going to handle what the parameters of his tzava is, of his will is. But Sefer HaChassidim was a Sefer Halacha, or... maybe it's halacha plus Kabbalah. I don't know exactly the parameter of Sefer Chassidim. In Sefer Chassidim Tafayin Zayin, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, again, same person, same author, and you'll see why I'm adding these points that specifically, there's a reason why I'm adding the point about Yehuda and Shmuel, and there's a reason why I'm adding specifically this point in Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, you'll see why, in the Sefer Chassidim, you'll see why in a few minutes. In Sefer Chassidim, again, not at Safar, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid tells us the following. There are certain zivugim shelo yatzlichu. They're just not going to be good shiduchim. And among them are, not exactly what I quoted before, a father and son who marry two sisters, right? There are two girls who are sisters. I'm not talking about two brothers marrying two sisters. Here we have a father-son marrying two sisters. Okay? Adam shehisi bitu la'achi ishto. It's also going to be bad luck, bad shiduch, if you're going to marry your niece. Right? That's what our sugya is, right? We thought the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Yevamis in two places said, it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says, don't do it. If you do it, it's not going to come out good. And he's even specifying the one that the Gemara specifically does say, Bas Ishto. I'm sorry, daughter of your wife. I'm sorry, the Bas Achoso, right? You shouldn't marry Bas Achoso. No, this is a little different. I'm sorry. This is a little different than what I said. No. I apologize. I made a mistake.
No.
Adam shehisi bito.
Yeah, it's just.
Adam shehisi bito la'achi ishto. You marry your daughter to
off
the brother
your
of your wife.
Yeah. means that guy is marrying his sister's daughter.
I'm lost. Hold on. I just not making the cheshbon fast enough.
It's just
the
way of saying it.
Okay. I'll take your word for it because my mind is... okay, fine. Another case that it's not good to marry, that it won't be work out well. Oh, Adam Shalakach Isha. Now, this next line is going to be very important because you'll see it's a little bit different than what we've spoken about earlier, but he's going to say something that is essential. V'chein Adam Shalakach Isha Shema Rivka. You marry a girl named Rivka. Oshem Acher. Okay, you married a girl named Rivka. Ubno, and your son also marries a girl named Rivka. Lakach Isha Shema Rivka. That means the Kala coming into the family is just like her mother-in-law. Yeah, we've heard that before, right? But look what he adds now. Uben beno lakach isha sheshma Rivka. And your grandson also marries a girl named Rivka. So what do you have? You have your wife's Rivka. You took in a daughter-in-law named Rivka. And you took in a granddaughter-in-law named Rivka. Stay away from that shidduch. Why? Lo yatzlichu. Why? The such a shichruch won't be matzliach. Timso yehilo yisa. Why? She mishuleshes or who shehi mishuleshes? Because this daughter, this name Rivka is tripled, is mishuleshes. Or you could have the opposite with the boys. Oh, who mishulasha isha v'habas v'bas habas lakhu gimel shemos. Or let's say you have a woman named a guy named Yankel, and her daughter marries a guy named Yankel, and her granddaughter marries a guy named Yankel. So if you have three generations, who nimtza hu lo yitzlach. So that family scenario, we have three generations, all named Yankel or all named Rivka. They all married boys named Rivka, girls named Rivka, or boys named Yankel. You're not going to have hatzlach with such shidduch. Now, when I first read this, actually some other things, you know, bothered me. I said, you know what this sounds remarkably similar to? It sounds similar to Nachash. Menachesh, all these heebie-jeebie things, you're making up, you know, don't do this, because if you do this, you'll have bad luck. If a black cat crosses the road, you'll have bad luck. You marry somebody whose name is like this, they're going to have bad luck. That's an Issa D'Orais, Rabbo, Sef Menichosh.
Superstition.
That's very much superstition. Well, we're a step behind. Rav Yehuda Chassid knew that Pasuk. He knows about the Issa D'Orais of Menichosh. Afal pi shelo l'nachesh. Even though you're not allowed to be menachesh, yesh lachosh v'lo nemar al zeh tamim tiyah. There's no iser of lo senachashu. There's no iser of trying to play games with Hashem. This is an appropriate concern. Okay, so he knows what my question is, and he says, for whatever reason, he knows, I don't know, he's smarter than me, and I respect that. He says, don't worry about nichosh, it's not nichosh, but don't do this. This is bad, it's not going to be good shidduch. Okay, now we come to how am I going to paskin in this shiloh that I got this morning? The guy in our shul. What's that, Sefria?
I'd like to just give a little bit of a historical context. I always thought, until I heard a shir that Reb Berl Wine gave, that the Ashkenazi community was the same size as the Sephardi community. He explains in the tape that at the time of Rashi, the Ashkenaz community was only approximately 10,000 people. And he explains that that's the reason why in the Ashkenazi community there's more genetic defects like Tay-Sachs and so forth, because for the first centuries they were basically intermarrying a lot. It is possible that in that context, this is why he's explaining that at least the genetic issues in terms of marrying your niece, marrying your, you know, all these family relationships, maybe he's looking at it from that perspective and knew that that would be something that was perhaps already appearing as early as the 13th century when he was a Rav. I don't know about the whole...
That's fascinating. That could be. It could be that he saw that people who were marrying the same family ended up with kids who had genetic mutations. He said, I don't want this to... You know, I see that the families that are marrying, you know, not relatives, all seem fine. All the families that are marrying within themselves are all having all kinds of genetic mutations. Let me try to set our family up for success and try to stay away from those problems. That could be. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. I accept that as a possibility. I don't know the answer, obviously. It's a historical question, but that could be. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying might fit with the poskim, the later poskim, specifically the Noda B'Yehuda we're about to see. Now, I want you to... This Noda B'Yehuda is probably the most important source of the Achronim who deal with the Tzavos of B'Yehuda HaChassid. This Noda B'Yehuda is bantied about very liberally in analyzing how much we have to be bound by the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And I want you to read the Shaila that he was asked. He was asked a very specific Shaila. And to answer the Shaila, he gives a very broad, sweeping analysis of Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. But look at the Shaila that he was asked. And there are a few points in the Shaila that are significant. Atashoel, he was asked by a Talmud the following Shaila. Your sister-in-law was read a boy in Ben Torah v'yachsen, a boy who's a Ben Torah, and that's going to be significant, we'll see later. And a guy with good yichas also, good, you know, good family. The problem is that sometime earlier in his life, he got sick and they changed his name. He got a name change and they added, let's say, Raphael. And the father of the girl's name is Raphael or Chaim or something like that. So the Shaila was, he asked his Rebbe, the Behuda, could I let my sister-in-law go out with a guy named Raphael if, you know, this girl's father's name is Raphael? Which is exactly the Shaila that the person asked me this morning. Again, not that anybody was sick, it was an added name, that's a different point, which will play into the tshuva of the Nodi Behuda, which we'll see soon. But this is exactly our Shaila. A girl was read to a boy. The boy's name is same as the girl's father's name. Yankel and Arshul's daughter was read to a boy named Yankel. Says the Nodi Behuda, and look how he opens up his answer, because this is also fascinating. Ahuvi Talmudi, my beloved Talmud. If I didn't love you so much, Luli Havascha, Ein Daki L'Hashav Binyan Kelu, I wouldn't even answer this Shaila that you're asking me. Because this Shaila of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Ein Lahem Shorish B'Talmud, Uba Poskim. So my typical response would be to ignore you entirely because you're asking me a Shaila that doesn't appear anywhere in Shas and Poskim. Except for the fact that I love you so much, because I love you so much, I'm going to make an exception for my typical demeanor. Now look at this. Da talmide hechaviv, v'yudvarim halalu chakukim aluach libcha lizikaron. Haklal hagod, I'm going to tell you a rule, and I don't want you to ever forget this rule. She'ein l'kol chacham sh'achar ha-talmud. There is not any talmud chacham after chasimus ha-talmud who has rishus lomar davar neged ha-talmud. If there is any talmud chacham, as great as he may or may not be, who is living after the chasimus ha-talmud of Ravina Ravashi in the 500 of the Common Era or so, who says you're not allowed to say anything that is against the Gemara Shas. Va'omer davar lister kutzo yod mi divrei ha-talmud. If you say something that is even the tiniest variant from the psak of the Talmud, lo yichoshu b'chalal chacham yisrael, you can't even be considered Talmud chacham. You're not part of our Mesorah. However, you see where he's going. I hope you see where he's going. Right? Because what did we learn? What was the first half of today's shiur? The Gemara says, Shas says Meforish explicitly, and there's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, but that doesn't matter because Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was 400 years before the Shulchan Aruch, 300 years before the Shulchan Aruch. The Shas says explicitly, marry your niece. And Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says, don't marry your niece. So the Nodi Behuda says, that can't be. That can't be. I mean, it could be, but then this person's not a Talmud Chacham. Omnam, kishonu motim echa michach mi Yisrael. Hamuchzak b'Torah uveyira b'li safek shekosev sefer davar hasos l'divrei ha-talmud. What happens if you have this very exceptional circumstance where you have a gadol tzaddik, somebody who's unquestionably a tzaddik yisod olam, somebody who's unquestionably a talmud chacham, who did write something against the Gemara? There's only one way to resolve this discrepancy. Chayavim anu lim shachuni nafshin. It's a weird language to draw ourselves a tais dvarav. We must say the following. Shalo diber rak l'sha'a. He must have been giving a hara'as sha'a. Ol mishpacha pratis, or he's talking about a specific family. V'divrei ha-talmud heim al ha-klal. But the Gemara's psak applies for the rest of history, for the rest of the Klal Yisrael. As we see by v'kayotzi b'ze anu motzul l'Rabbeinu Yehuda chasu b'tzava shalo, Dvarim shekemat osur lanu l'shomam, because you see in Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid things that it's practically osur for us to listen to hear. The one I highlighted is what we're learning today, but you'll see two others that you know, the Rabbi Yehuda finds questionable. Kiyu Omer, the Rabbi Yehuda Chas is saying, this is the topic of today's shiur, Shelo Yisa Bas Achoso, don't marry your niece. B'gmara Amrusha Mitzvah. Right? Remember, the Gemara didn't say the word mitzvah, did it? I think the Rama said the word mitzvah. Maybe, I don't remember. But there are others. Look at these two things that are less famous. Hu Omer, Shelo Yisa Av Ubno. I quoted you that one. Shtei Achayos. You shouldn't have a father's son married to sisters. But I'm going to show you two Amoram, Rav Papa Ubno, right? You know Rav Papa. He was a big guy. Ubno Nasu Shtei Benos Shel Abasura. Two Amoraim, Rav Papa and his son married two sisters. Thirdly, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, Hu Omer, Shlo Yisu Bezach Shtei Achayos. Two brothers should not marry two sisters. One situation in Shas where we have a story of 80 Kohanim brothers who 80 Kohanim who married brothers and sisters. Furthermore, another story in Shas, both Bar Chami. The two daughters of Rav Chista married the two sons of Chami. Rami and Marukva, these are both, you know, primetime Amoraim. So you have at least three instances in Savas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid that is explicitly against either a halacha of the Talmud or what the Amoraim practiced themselves. And such examples are in this tzava. Vim haya chassid mitzava l'tzava zu l'chol Yisrael. If the point of this tzava was to address it to all of Klal Yisrael, harihu soser l'divri ha-talmud v'haya aser l'anu l'kabel dvarim klal. We wouldn't be able to accept any of it. It must be that that wasn't his intent. Aval ha-emes yorudarko. It must be that, says another Yehuda, that when Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid made his tzava'a for... One second. When he made his tzava'a, Kiachos lezaro acharav tziva. He's only addressing his own family, ledori doras. True, it might be for all of history, but he's only addressing his family for all of history. Why? Ki ra'a, says another Yehuda, the only way you could say it, Ki ra'a b'ruach ha-kodesh, shezaro lo yatzliach b'zivugim ka'ila. He saw b'ruach ha-kodesh, or tzafrir, maybe you're saying, because of his historical perspective, his medical perspective on his family, or... You know, again, a lot of these things don't relate to, you know, two brothers marrying two sisters. There's no cross genetics here. It's just two separate family things. Uvazeh eino sosa divrei ha-talmud shuhal ha-klal v'divrei ha-chas shuhal ha-prat. Talmud was talking about Klal Yisrael. His tzava was his family. And therefore... Therefore, I don't think you have to be worried about this shiloh that you're asking me about your sister-in-law, the same name, the girl has the same name as her, I mean, the boy is the same name as the father-in-law. And therefore, I think there's reason to be makel. Then he says a different reason. He says that since the name of this chassan was changed, there was added, let's say the name Rafael, and that's the problem because the girl's father's name is Rafael, that's a different issue. I think you could be makel in that for a different reason. Because... this we're not going to focus on, but we know that whenever you change a name, when you add a bracha, it's only for the better, not for to hurt you. So if you change the name to, you know, Ashin Hashem Latos, that the person should live longer, it shouldn't come to haunt him later that he can't marry a girl. But okay, that's an interesting svar which we're not going to go into.
Eddie Yehuda didn't even bring down about him saying not to name your children Yehuda.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Yecheskel ben Yehuda Landau, but yeah.
Oh, yeah? Is that another Yehuda's name?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. That another Yehuda's father is also Yehuda. Okay. But we're going to see that somebody else is going to make a similar point. Continues another Yehuda, after that very strong polemic, Milvad kozel lefi mechtavcha, and this is an important point, which, again, could be a sensitive point, because, again, a guy comes to Rabbi Orly after shul and says, I'm nervous about this boy. You know what I'm going to have to ask him as part of my discussion with him? Is the boy that's interested in your daughter, is he a Talmud Chacham? I don't really know his daughter too well. Is he a serious yeshiva boy? Is he learned seriously? Because look at this kula that the Nodi Behuda is about to set forth. Umilvad kozel, afi mechtavcha, rotzecha usencha, you're, again, remember, it was not a shayah for himself, it was a shayah for his brother-in-law or something like that. Lischatin imtsurva mirabbanim, v'shar mitzvahu. The shayla here is the boy at hand is a ben Torah. Shomer mitzvahu. Maybe there's more room to be lenient. And now look at this final concluding. It's a shtach. Again, those who know what a shtach is, it's a look at this. And I don't understand people. I don't now know the behud is on fire. I just don't understand people. People are more concerned with marrying somebody who has the same name, which doesn't have any source in Chazal, and is a tzaras rabbi the chassid. But if the guy doesn't know how to learn Torah, and the guy's not ma'aretz, where Chazal we learned last week or 2 weeks ago, the Gemara says you're not allowed to marry your daughter to such a person. You're totally fine as long as he's going to medical school or law school, right? Vitmihani, I don't understand. Arov ha'olam, shalaseis bitam la'am ha'aretz. Who pashuretz them? No problem. I don't need a son-in-law who knows how to learn as long as I don't have to support him, right? Vein choshes limona, v'u neged divrei chazal, she'amru ki'ilu kosom aneicha lefnei amri. Remember we learned last week or 2 weeks ago that if you give your daughter to an am ha'aretz, it's like you're trapping her in an ari because he doesn't have the proper midos. But u'lizchatim and tzurva mirabanan. But you're worried, oh, Ben Torah, oh, the same name, I don't want to do that. They say, oh, I don't want to do this, it's a big shayla. You're more worried about this tzava than shas. Velote Torah Shlema Shalano, our Torah, our perfect Torah of Talmud Bavli is less than tzava be'ama. You're more worried, isn't this incredible? This is an incredible tshuva. And therefore, my conclusion is, my dear Talmud, L'dayti yigmor chasencha shidduch chazeh v'yaseh ma'is l'shem shemayim. You should go ahead with the shidduch. You said he's a ben Torah. Go for the shidduch. It's the right shidduch. And don't be worried about it. Be'ezus Hashem, I have to stop now. But Be'ezus Hashem, next week, we're going to have to deal further with the analysis of numerous other leniencies. We just presented one presentation about Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. There are other aspects to the Shaila and the Tzavah's Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, but I want to draw your mind to one other of them. And that is something incredible that I found. One other point that I wanted to share with you. Let's see if I could find. I might not be able to find it right now. Yeah. You remember I told you that one of the other points of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, number 51, was don't call your name your son Yehuda or Shmuel, right? Again, no offense to the Yehudas or Shmuels here, anyone who has a child named Yehuda or Shmuel. Look here, please. U'b'shem Ari, this is what I found in the Otzer HaPoskim. He quotes a Sefer, Shem Ari on Yoredeh. I don't know who that is, Shem Ari on Yoredeh. I'm not familiar with the Sefer. He said, I don't even think that the children of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid were careful. Why? Because look at this story. Kishama miharav Rav Mordechai Margolios av Bezdin distenav. Don't know where that is. Shahilo me Kabbalah me avosav. He had a Kabbalah from his family that there was once an asif of the Gedolei Hador in the time of the Maharsha. Bizman Maharsha. Look what I underlined in yellow. Dibru od in the time of the Maharsha there was an asif of the Gedolei Yisrael and they were dealing with the shayla of the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Va'amar haMaharsha al raglav. The Maharsha stood up at this Asif of Gedolim, Va'amar, and he said, I am a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And in the Tzava, you know what it says? Uvitzava so nemar, lo yikore ish mizaro es beno, lo Yehuda v'lo Shmuel. Right? We saw that together. And guess what, my dear Gedolim, he addressed the Knesia HaGedola of the time of Maharsha. And guess what? Va'ani zeshmi Shmuel. Guess what? Maharsha means Rib Shmuel ben Edels, who's named by his stepmother, I think. Edels was his stepmother. V'shem Avi, Yehuda, and my biological father is Yehuda. I'm Shmuel, my father is Yehuda, and I'm a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. You see that? So the Maharsha was saying that even our own family doesn't follow the Tzavos of Yehuda HaChassid. Okay? Rabosai Bez Hashem, there's a lot of very exciting stuff to do, Bez Hashem, next week. And I thank you all for joining. I have to run, so I wish you all